I've already mentioned we're celebrating Thanksgiving this week, first national day of Thanksgiving that we had in this country officially was November the 26th, 1789. Of course, we know it goes back much further than that, started with the Pilgrims. Many, many things have come to be connected with Thanksgiving. Families get together. They eat. We eat. We watch football. It used to be the start of the Christmas season, but now that starts right after Labor Day, and they sort of just fit in, you know, Halloween and Thanksgiving between Labor Day and Christmas. And, of course, Friday of this week will be the big sales day, and my advice to all you have, just stay home on Friday. Just stay home. But again, let's not forget what the day was set aside for. The day was set aside to remember that everything good that we have comes from God and that we need to be grateful for Him, to Him for everything. This morning, I'm going to preach from that passage that Adam read from Luke chapter 17. And the title of my sermon, as you notice from the bulletin, is The Question That Jesus Asked. The very last phrase of verse 17 of chapter 17, where are the nine? Where are the nine? The story about these 10 lepers is only told in the book of Luke. And you remember that each of the gospel writers wrote his gospel from a different perspective. Matthew wrote to portray Jesus as the king. Mark wrote to portray Jesus as a servant. John wrote to portray Jesus as the Son of God. And Luke wrote to portray Jesus as the Son of Man. And he reminds us throughout this gospel, yes, Jesus was God, but he was also a man. And so Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and he was on his way back to Jerusalem. Here in this passage of Scripture, and the Bible says that he passed through Samaria and Galilee. And in verse 12 it says, and he entered into a certain village. Doesn't tell us the name. It could have been any village back then. And there met him there in that village 10 lepers, 10 men that saw him coming and went to him when they saw him coming. I think these men had heard about Jesus' power. I think they'd heard about his miraculous healing. I think they'd heard about the many, many things that he'd done thus far in his ministry. And so these 10 lepers came to him, and the Bible says they stood afar off. They were, I would say, just from that phrase, law-abiding citizens, because the law was that if you were a leper, you had to remove yourself from society, and whenever anybody came across your path, you had to get out of the way. They had a rag that they held over their upper lip, and they cried out, leper, leper, unclean, unclean, which meant stay away. And that comes from the book of Leviticus chapter 13. Here's what the Bible says. And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. And so if you had this disease of leprosy, there was really no cure. When you got it, you had to move outside of the city that you lived in. You had to live apart from society. And if by chance somebody was about to come across your path, as Jesus was for these 10 men, you had to put a covering on your upper lip and again cry out, unclean, unclean, as a warning so that those folks would not approach you. Because leprosy was passed with the touch. And so to protect the clean, the unclean had to give that warning. Now, later on in this passage, we learn that these men, the 10 of them, 9 of them were Jews, and 1 of them was a Samaritan. And I'll just remind you this morning, most of you know, but I'll remind you, a Samaritan was a lower class citizen. In fact, a Samaritan was somebody that had one Jewish parent, but the other parent was not a Jew. So they were a half Jew. They were half Jew and half something else. And the Jews, the pure Jews, had nothing to do with the Samaritans. They were outcast. In fact, we know from some of the other stories in the Bible that they were considered dogs. I mean, they were considered animals to the Jews. You remember when that lady came that was a Phoenician. Thank you, John. Was a Phoenician and wanted her daughter to be healed, and she was begging Jesus to heal her daughter. And the disciples said, "Send her away. She's not a Jew. She doesn't deserve to have the good things that God has prepared for the Jews." And Jesus said, "Hey, it's not meat. It's not right to take the things take the meat that was for the children and feed it to the dogs." And you know the story. The lady said, "Yes, Master, that's true. But even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table." And Jesus told her, "Great is your faith, lady. Go home. As you've asked for your daughter, it shall be done." And her daughter was healed. And so they were the outcast of society. The Jews didn't want anything to do with them. And I find it interesting that here was a group of men, 10 men together, 9 Jews, 1 Samaritan. Because you see, when hardship comes, when misery comes, all prejudice is forgotten. And so these 9 Jews, they didn't worry about this Samaritan being a Samaritan. They didn't worry that he was unclean by birth, because they were all unclean by leprosy. And so they came to Jesus as a group, and they lifted up their voices in a loud voice. They called unto Jesus and they said, "Jesus, Master." Interesting address. I do not believe in lordship salvation. I do not believe for you to get saved, you have to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. I'm sorry, I don't see that in the gospel. I see in the gospel that if we believe in him and ask us, he will save us. Now, I believe that after we get saved, Jesus ought to be our Lord. And in fact, if you see him as Savior, you will see him as Lord. But I don't believe you got to acknowledge him as Lord to get saved. I think that comes later. But these men said, "Jesus, Savior, Master, Lord." And they said this, "Have mercy on us." What they were saying is, don't give us what we deserve. Because if you gave us what you deserve, you just passed by on the other side of the road. If you gave us what we deserved, you wouldn't stop and listen to our plea. If you gave us what we deserved, you wouldn't do anything good for us today. But we want you to do something good for us today. We've heard about what you've able to do for other people. We've heard about how you've cast out demons. We've heard about how you've raised the dead. And we've heard about how you've encountered other lepers. And in those other lepers that you've encountered, how they've walked away cured. Lord, have mercy on us. It's curious what Jesus said. He said this, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." Go show yourself unto the priest. Now, again, the law back then was, if you were a leper and you somehow got cleansed from that disease, you got cleaned up from that disease, the Bible says, again, from the book of Leviticus, "This shall be the law of the leper. In the day of his cleansing, he shall be brought unto the priest." And the priest would examine him, and he would offer sacrifices, and the priest would pronounce him clean. Then he could go back home. He could move back in society. So here were these 10 men. They came to Jesus, and they kept the law. They said, "Unclean, unclean." And then they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." I think they looked at one another. They looked at their bodies. The sores were still there. The open wounds were still there. The fingers and different pieces of the body were missing. And I'm sure they might have had a little discussion among themselves. Well, why should we go see the priest? I mean, the only way a leper should go see the priest is when he's cleansed. And when we look at our bodies, the pus is still coming out of the sores. We still have rags wrapped around the sores that are open. We still have this covering that we put over our upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." What does he mean? Go see the priest. Jesus didn't say to them, "Be clean." He didn't reach out his hand and touch him like he did at other times when he encountered a leper. In Luke chapter 5, he met another leper, and the Bible says, who fell on his face and besought him, saying, "Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean." And he, Jesus, put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And maybe these 10 lepers had heard about that story. When this leper came to Jesus and said, "Lord, I believe you have the power to cleanse me. If you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus said, "I will," and reached his hand out and touched his body. And he was cured from leprosy. And these 10 men said, he didn't say, "Be clean" to us. He didn't reach out his hand and touch us. And yet he said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And so it says there, and it came to pass that as they went. You see, they didn't understand what was going on. They didn't understand why Jesus would tell them to go to the priest. But when they called him Jesus Master, when they called him Savior Lord, they were right in their attitude toward Christ. Because it didn't matter to them that it made sense. I mean, they could look at their bodies and see that it was still full of leprosy. It made no sense to go to the priest. They didn't understand why Jesus said to go to the priest, but because he was their Lord, they went anyway. And sometimes when God tells us to do something, it doesn't make any sense to us from a human standpoint. We don't understand why he tells us to do something. We don't understand why he brings things into our life. We don't understand why he lets certain things happen. But we need to have the attitude that these 10 lepers has. He is Lord, and he knows what he's doing. And we just need to trust him and to be obedient. He said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And as they went, again, no earthly reason to go. You only went to the priest to be pronounced clean. They could look at their hands and feel their bodies and know they were not clean. But as they went, they were cleansed. All 10 of them. Every sore was healed. Every part of the body that was missing was missing. I think if we could go back and feel their bodies after they were healed, that their skin was soft just like a baby's. Boy, when Jesus does it, he does it right. He does it right. And they were healed. And now they had a reason to go to the priest. Now they understood why Jesus sent them to the priest in the first place. They were going to be pronounced clean. They could get to move back home. They could get to be back with their families. They could be back with society. And the Bible says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. You know what? It joys my heart when Brother Wendell was singing Amazing Grace and he saw it just like I did because we were looking that way. I like it when people raise their hand. Glory to God. I like it when people clap. They're not clapping for him. They're clapping for God. They're clapping about heaven. They're clapping about that grace. Peggy, I didn't know you were part Pentecostal. I saw you waving your hand back there too. And hey, and by the way, I got a lot of Pentecostal friends, and we ought to have more Pentecostal bones in our body than we do, because we're too reserved in our praise. We praise God too quiet. We don't get excited enough about our praise, because this man, when he was healed, fell down on his face before Jesus and with a loud voice glorified God. I'm healed. I'm healed. Jesus said, "Hey, weren't there 10 of you? There were 10 of you. 10 of you were healed. Where are the other 9? Where are the other 9? Now, this morning, that's my introduction. I'm to my message. I have 3 things I want to say about Thanksgiving. You don't need to worry about time. I know exactly what time it is. Doesn't mean you're going to get out any earlier, but I know exactly what time it is. I want to say 3 things about Thanksgiving. Number 1, Jesus wants our thanks. He wants our thanks. That's what he was implying when he said to this Samaritan, by the way, that's who the one that came back, the half-breed. He said to the Samaritan, where are the other nine? I'm glad that you came back and to offer thanks to me, but I'd like thanks from the other nine as well. And again, I would remind you, Luke was portraying Jesus as the Son of Man. He was portraying him in his humanity. And I'll just ask you to think about it. When you do something kind for somebody, would not you like them to say thank you to you? Wouldn't you like for them to show the common courtesy of saying thank you? And that's what Jesus was asking. He says, where's the nine? There's another story over in Luke chapter 7. Jesus one day went to a man named Simon's house. And back in that day, the custom was when you had a guest in your house, you gave him a bowl of water to wash his feet. You kissed him to welcome him into your home, and then you anointed his head with oil. That was the way of receiving a guest into your home. Well, when Jesus went into Simon's home, he was a Pharisee, by the way. He did none of those things for Jesus. But while he was sitting there at dinner, a lady came in. She went to where Jesus was laying. They laid on couches as they ate. And the Bible says she began to cry. And with her tears, she washed Jesus' feet. She didn't have a towel, so she used the hair of her head to dry his feet. She began to kiss his feet, and then she anointed them with oil. And here's the Pharisee Simon sitting over here. He was thinking to himself. He said, if he knew what kind of woman that was, he wouldn't let her touch him. If he knew the sinner that she was, he wouldn't let her get anywhere near him. You see, Simon didn't understand why Jesus came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's exactly the kind of woman that Jesus was looking for. And here's what he said to Simon. He said, Simon, when I came into your house, you didn't give me a bowl of water to wash my feet, but this lady has washed my feet with her tears. You didn't give me a towel. She's used her hair as a towel. You didn't kiss me on the cheek to welcome me into your home, but she, since she's come in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she's anointed my feet with oil. And I think Jesus, one of the things he was saying in that story was, hey, I'm a human being. I want the common courtesies that you would extend to any other human being. When he asked this leper that came back to thank him, he says, I'm sure glad that you came back to thank me, but where are the other nine? Where are the other nine? I would like the common courtesy that you would extend to another human being to just say, thank you. Now, sometimes we're like the other nine. Here's what we say, and here's what I'm sure they thought. Well, he's God. He knows that I'm thankful. I don't need to tell him. He knows. And he does know, but he wants us to tell him because he needs our thanks. Let me just bring it home for just a second. There are some men here this morning that haven't told their wives they've loved them for a long, long time. You know why? Because here's what they think. Well, I told her when we got married. If it changes, I'll tell her. There are some ladies here that haven't told their husbands that they love them for a long, long time. And you think the same way. Well, he knows. I told him a couple months ago. How many times do I have to tell him? There are some, well, there's not many children here, but there's some children back in the fellowship hall. And it's our responsibility to teach them that don't have the habit of thanking mom and dad for the things that they do. They need to be taught that. They need to be taught to say thank you. Jesus wants our thanks. He wants our thanks. Number two, It's hard for the blessed to be thankful. It's hard for the blessed to be thankful. I won't take the time to read it, but in verse 15 and 16, again, I just point out to you, who came back? It wasn't one of the nine Jews. It was a Samaritan. It was the half-breed. It was the one who the Jews thought was a dog. He didn't have much to start with. And when he got leprosy, his world became worse. I mean, he was outcast because he was a Samaritan. He was a second-class citizen because he was a Samaritan. And then when he got leprosy, it got even worse. He went further and further into that category of being an outcast. He went further and further into that category of being someone that society wanted nothing to do with. Look, we can't cure your disease. Just move outside of town, and eventually you'll die. Yeah, we'll bring out some food every now and then, and maybe we'll send you a Christmas basket, but just die. Just die. And when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, and he started down that path, and he was healed. He was the one that came back, fell on his face before Christ, and said, thank you, God. Thank you, God. You see, the Jews, the nine, before they got leprosy, they were part of society. They could live at home. They could hold a job. They could do all the things that an upstanding citizen could do. Now, when they got leprosy, they had to give all that up. But I'm sure that some of them went away thinking, well, this is what I deserve. I'm a Jew. I deserve to be healed. I deserve to have the mercy of God. It's only right that God would heal me because I'm a Jew. And so when they were cured, they said, well, there's no need for us to go back and thank Jesus. We're Jews. We're Jews. It's only right that we should be cured. People that are blessed, that have money in the bank, health, family, friends. If we're not careful, we will take for granted the things that God does for us. And here's the attitude we'll have. Well, why shouldn't he do it? Look at me. If anybody he should love, it should be me. And if we're not, and here's what usually has to happen. Usually the blessed get thankful when God knocks all the props out from them and takes away some of their security. And then when God starts to give some of it back, they realize where it's coming from and they're thankful to God. And if there was one truth that I could send you all out of here with this morning, one thing that you could just leave this place with this morning, knowing that your preacher wanted to get into your head this morning, is we need to be thankful every day. We need to be thankful for everything we have. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness. He does not change, no shadow of turning. And everything we have, listen to me, everything we have comes from him. We need to be grateful. And then number three, the thankful was twice blessed. Twice blessed. He got blessed once by being cured from his leprosy. He came back to Jesus and fell on his face at Jesus' feet in a loud voice, praised him. Jesus said, where's the nine? But then he said to this man in verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now I want you to see what's happening here. He was already whole from a physical standpoint when he turned around and came back to Jesus to thank him. His body was healed. There was not one trace of leprosy left in his body. When he came back and fell at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and they had the exchange about where were the nine, Jesus said, "Hey, pal, get up. Go your way, for your faith has made you whole." What Jesus was saying, hey, not only has your body been cured, but your soul has been made whole. Not only have you been cured physically, but you've been cured spiritually, and it's your faith that has led to that cure. You see, even though his body was 100%, even though all the sores of leprosy was gone, even though the missing parts, if he was missing fingers and toes, and that's what happened when you had leprosy, certain parts of your body would fall off. They were all restored. He stood before Christ as a whole human being, cured in the body. But he fell at his knees in faith and gave thanks to God. And Jesus said, "Get up, go your way. Your faith in me has made you whole." You see, every person that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior is not whole spiritually. There is something missing in our lives before we came to know Christ. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, there is something missing in your spirit. We were made to fellowship with God. We were made to have a relationship with God. And when sin came into our life and we became a sinner, that relationship was broken. And that piece of our spirit, that piece of our spiritual being that needs God became empty. Became empty. Adam and Eve were made. They were put in the Garden of Eden. They were made to fellowship with God. And when they sinned, when they disobeyed God, God had to kick them out of the garden. And that relationship that God made them for was no longer possible because of sin. The same thing is true today. The same thing is true now. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's a piece of your spiritual being that's missing. And that piece that's missing is your relationship with God. You say, "Brother Darrell, how can that be?" I'll tell you, because you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. And it's not, the Bible's not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death, where you're separated from God, where you've lost that relationship. God knew that we were in that condition. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why Jesus said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Lost from God. Not that God doesn't know where we is. When Adam and Eve tried to hide in the Garden of Eden, he knew right where they were. But it's not until we see where we are that we can that God can do anything to restore that relationship. Until we understand that we're a sinner separated from God and are destined to spend all eternity separated from him. Can the message of salvation mean anything to us? But when we realize that we're lost, that we have no hope to be restored to our rightful relationship with God, then we begin to understand how much God loved us when he sent his Son, who was perfect, who never sinned, to go to the cross and pay for my sin and pay for your sin. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And God sent him and he gave himself on that cross to pay for sins. Not his, but mine and yours. And as he paid for those sins, he looked to heaven and he said, "It is finished. The price is paid." And the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, it's not recorded here. And I don't know the words the leper said. But I believe with all my heart when he bowed down with his face on the ground in front of Christ, he confessed him as Savior. And Jesus was able to say to him, "Hey man, get up. Go your way. Because your faith hath made you whole." Not just, you see, your obedience made you whole when you went to see the priest. When you obeyed me and went to see the priest when you couldn't understand why, your obedience made your body whole. But your faith has made your spirit whole. And if you're here today, that's the same thing it's going to take from you. It takes faith. Faith that to believe that Jesus is God's Son. Faith to believe that he did go to that cross and that he did die for your sins. Faith that causes you to believe that if you ask him, he'll save you. Would you do that this morning? I can't think of a better Sunday than the Sunday before Thanksgiving to ask Jesus to be your Savior. And if you're here today and say, hey, preacher, I didn't come plan to do it. Doesn't matter. God did. You may not have planned to do it, but God planned for you to do it. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. And if you've never, there's never been a time in your life where you realized that you were a sinner and realized that there was a penalty for that sin and Jesus paid the penalty for you. And there's never been a time where you've asked him to be your Savior. Make that time right now. Right now. All you need to do is just say words like this. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell. But I believe you died in my place. And I'm asking you to be my Savior. And the Bible promises that if we ask, he'll answer. The Bible promises that if we call, he'll take us. He'll turn nobody away. Would you do that this morning? Would you? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the story of this leper. Thank you for the way.